Good morning. Welcome to Monday, and welcome to St. Patrick's Day, and Yay. Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I've got my apron on.
You have a green apron.
It's green.
You have a big green hat.
It's my big-ass green hat, and it's got a buckle on it. It's a leprechaun hat.
It is. It is. What's happened to the leprechaun? You took his hat.
It was a giant leprechaun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I've had these hats for, Dale and I both have one, for way more than 20 years. But when our house got destroyed in the storm of 2007, you know, we lost, I mean, everything. We lost all our photographs, the quilts my grandma made, you know, things my mother gave me. But I still had some floral Tupperware and then these big green hats. So every year I wear them just because I'm mad at them, you know.
Oh, my God.
Why couldn't these go and my grandma's quilts have survived, you know?
These, you know, there's nothing like a tragedy to illustrate how idiotic we are about keeping some things.
Yes, yes.
Although your hat has come in really handy, you know, at least
See?
Once a year.
See?
So... Hey, before we talk about food, which we have been known to occasionally do on this program,
yes.
I want to take a quick minute and thank the people who phoned in during Pledge Drive, during our show, and thereby entered the drawing for a free cookbook, to win a cookbook.
Yay,
and so
cookbooks.
I want to thank Patty from Gearheart. These are our winners.
Okay.
Patty from Gearheart, Diane from Seaside, Gary from Seaside, and Amanda from Astoria. Thank you so much, every single one of you. And thank you for everyone else who pledged and who has pledged and donated regardless of the show during that 8-day pledge drive. We really, really appreciate it, and it's never too late. So if you would like to, if you didn't make it in time, you think you didn't make it in time, it turns out that any time is time. KMUN.org, click the donate button and become part of the, you know, saving grace of us all.
Yeah, and thanks. All seven of you did donate, so thank you. We really appreciate it. Yay, seven listeners, the best seven listeners.
Yeah, it's great. So I think everybody's gotten their cookbooks except for one I'm going to be delivering.
Okay.
So we are ready for the next pledge drive.
Yay.
I'm running out of cookbooks. I don't know. We might have to come up with something else.
I probably am not running out of cookbooks.
No, I know, but you're I don't go to you for giving away cookbooks.
Because I hang on to them with the grip of steel.
You have a magnet, some sort of weird magnet that draws them to you.
I have a cookbook problem.
I see you with notes in your hand. What's going on?
Oh, well, something cute happened in Warrenton.
Yeah.
You know the Main Street Market there?
Yeah.
I think that's a great place. Tommy Smith owns it. Anyway, did you hear about this? He ordered milk the other day. You know, he normally orders 3 crates. You know those little milk crates? They have 4 gallons in them each.
Right.
But he pressed the wrong button and he ordered 3 pallets.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is over 200 gallons for his little teeny tiny store. I thought that was so cute.
Oh. And what happened?
Milk sale. But can you imagine?
Oh.
Because clearly he didn't catch it, you know, because otherwise he would have called and stopped it. And so it just showed up at his door, you know.
You just got to wonder if there's even room in the walk-in. You know what I mean?
I know.
Oh.
3 pallets is a lot.
I had no idea. I might need milk. Well, I'll have to check. Yikes.
Wow, I wonder if 1 pallet is over 200. Oh, and he got 3 pallets. I think a pallet, isn't it like 216? Oh, he got 3 pallets.
Know.
He got a lot more milk than I thought he did. Oh,
that's
a lot of milk.
That's a lot of milk.
Well, I think he was on the board for the food bank for a while. So, I mean, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
But still, what a shock to have that pull up to your door, you know?
I know.
Are you making anything for St. Patrick's Day? Because I know how you love to cook for celebrating holidays.
Yeah. Well, I like to cook, but I don't celebrate holidays, period.
Yeah.
So, no. I'm not cooking anything special, but I am cooking dinner, and I think I'm going to start with some scalloped potatoes because I like having the oven on these days.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It was below freezing this morning.
Yeah, I know.
There was ice on the deck, yeah.
I know.
Went skating down here. Well, I made corned beef last night, and I really like corned beef. So, I mean, I wish that it was more available the rest of the year, just like it's hard to find a whole turkey, you know, in July.
Yeah.
But I made corned beef, and it occurred to me because I was talking to somebody that maybe not everybody knows how to make corned beef.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, there's directions on the package, and I don't follow those because why would I? No, but because it's cooked on the stove for a long time, like I think that it's 40 or 50 minutes a pound, and I have trouble cooking things on the stove because I don't pay attention to them, and then they burn on the bottom, and that doesn't happen in the oven. And so what I do is just pretty much not at all what they say on the package. I take the corned beef and I open the package and I slide it out of the package into some kind of a Dutch oven type heavy covered pot that fits it pretty well. You know, there's not a bunch of room around it. And then I rinse out the package. There's a bunch of goop in there.
Yeah.
And I rinse it out so with hot water, hot tap water, not boiling water. And then put that water into the pot. So it takes maybe, you know, three times to rinse out that package. And there's a little spice package in there, too.
Yeah.
I put that in the water. And I put enough water in it so that it just covers the corned beef. And if there's a fatty side to the corned beef, I put that up instead of down. And then I put it on the stove and I bring it just to a low boil, you know, just to get it started. And then I stick it in the oven at 325 degrees. And I leave it in there for about 3.5 hours. And then I take it out. And then I put vegetables in, carrots, onions that are wedged up, cabbage that is wedged up, and then potatoes. Potatoes are the thing I couldn't think of, potatoes. And then I cover
and
it.
And carrots? Do you put carrots?
Yep, yeah, carrots, yeah. Yep, onions. And then I cover it back up and put it back in the oven for an hour. And that works really, really well. So how you serve it, and I'm sure this is not news to any of you, but I encountered someone yesterday, actually two people that just had no idea that this was a thing. So you just put the vegetables and however much meat you want in like a bowl or a dish with a rim, and then you just put like 3/4 maybe of a cup of the liquid in there and put some butter on the potatoes, and you're good to go. And when you cut the meat, you cut it against the grain. So it just means that if the fibers are, and they're very obvious, are going lengthwise one way, you just cut straight down into them, across them, not with them. Otherwise, it'll be stringy and weird.
Yeah.
And it works really well. But there's a bunch of different cuts. You know, the brisket corned beef can be a point cut or a flat cut, or there's also round, that cut of beef that is corned beef. And when you do it this way, it doesn't matter, because when you cook it this way, it's that falling apart tender way, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. All the cuts are good. So.
And then you can have corned beef hash for breakfast.
Yeah. And you can, it's a relatively cheap cut of meat, unless you buy it at Costco.
We can't talk.
No, just this one instance. So I went to Costco to get corned beef, and there was just a giant traffic jam in front of it. So I pushed my way into the like upper right-hand corner of the bin, and I was cooking for about 14 people. So I just grabbed 4 big roasts, and I tossed them in my cart, and I went up front. And then when I was going through the register, the cashier stopped, and one of the corned beefs that I had was $182,000.
Holy cow.
He's like, I'm going to get a manager because you probably want a discount.
Oh, my gosh.
But isn't that funny? It was all the numbers were like super small for them to be able to fit like in the price part of the label. It was $182,877.05. And so I don't know who pushed what button wrong, but they pushed it wrong.
That and the milk. I mean, what was going on?
I know. That's so true. And so sorry for mentioning the place. But anyway, don't buy that specific corned beef.
I'm sure it's been adjusted. It went home with you, didn't it?
No. Oh. No, it was so funny because the manager took it because they don't have a scale at the register.
Oh, right,
So the manager took it. They brought me another one. But all the employees were like following her and like clicking pictures of it as she was walking because it was so ridiculous. And the cashier said he'd been there for years and the biggest mistake he'd ever seen was $1,000. And this was significantly more.
Yes, way more.
I thought that was cute. But anyway, that's my corned beef story.
Corned beef, to me, like meatloaf, is one of those gifts that keep on giving. I mean, corned beef sandwiches are so fabulous.
Yeah. Like you said, corned beef hash.
I know. That's the best.
Yeah.
Are you a horseradish person?
No. And I don't know why, but it's not that I dislike it. It's just like maybe 3,000th down the list of things that I like. Uh-huh. It's just... But Dale is. And so when I make it, what I do is I take that prepared refrigerated horseradish and then I whip cream rather than using sour cream. I just whip heavy cream and I mix them together, a lot of chives, a little bit of garlic salt. And that's how I do it. How do you do it?
We really like horseradish and we like it right out of the, I like it fresh and grated, but it isn't always available. I buy prepared horseradish, but not sauce, just grated horseradish.
Okay.
And we just eat it that way.
Okay. You know, I don't know if people out there know this, but horseradish is really, really easy to grow. Now,
you have to really want it because it's so invasive.
Yeah. So you have to put it in a pot because it's like bamboo.
Yeah.
And so just get a big pot and plant it. And you, the seven of you, know that I have killed mint twice in my garden. I have had mint growing and I've been able to kill it.
It's a record.
But I've kept the horseradish alive for 15 years.
Wow.
And so it's a really, really easy thing to grow. And it's a hard thing to find in the store, fresh horseradish, the root, you know, unless you go to the city. But that's a long way to drive for horseradish.
For horseradish root. Yeah. But when I do see it, I mean, I have bought it fresh. It's just that it isn't often available.
Yeah.
But you can buy it prepared horseradish in a lot of different ways, and one of the ways is just grated horseradish. So that's usually what I opt for, as opposed to the sauce, which is probably mixed with sour cream or something like it.
I think sour cream is what people normally do.
Yeah,
and I don't know why I like the heavy cream better. I just do.
Yeah,
like whipped to.
Yeah,
well, almost stiff peaks.
It allows the horseradish to be the thing, you know, as opposed to
that tangy sour.
Yeah.
Not really interfering, but additional flavor.
Yeah.
It's sort of like sourdough bread. Sometimes I don't want, you know, the substrate to fight with what I'm putting on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Ooh, rye bread and corned beef. I know. I haven't had breakfast. Everything sounds real good.
I went to the store the other day and I was hungry, and that was a mistake.
Oh, it's a terrible mistake. And it is interesting and alarming to me how often it happens to me.
Yeah.
Because I go when I have a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And when I have a minute is usually a time when my choice would be to eat something or to go to the store.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. I'm sure it happens to lots of people because that's the thing. Don't shop when you're hungry.
I know. It's such a basic tenet of, you know, running a household. But
lately, the overarching governor of that whole thing is that groceries are so expensive.
Oh, I know. Because
you're not so tempted to splurge.
It's the second time that I came away from a grocery store with a cart that had nothing underneath it and just the cart, and it was over $500. It's just such a shock. I told you quite a while ago that the most common sentence I say now is, what the hell? And I say it to the grocery shelf. What the hell? I don't care if anybody's wrong, but it's the thing that comes out of my mouth the most.
It's alarming. It really is. It really is. It might be a good time to get some less expensive milk, however.
Well,
and then think about that.
And then the when I was, you know, also I say it to the card stand reader things at the checkout.
Oh,
what
the
hell? Because then it was over $500, and the clerk said, "Well, you can show your husband the picture of this $182,000."
Think of all the money he saved.
Yeah, and then maybe he won't be so.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to take a quick sec and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Both of those organizations are worthy of your attention, and they both have extremely useful websites, KMUN.org, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org.
So, I've been doing kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
I mean, psychologically weird. Normally, this time of year, like the sun is out for 5 minutes. Of course, it'll be pouring again soon. But I'm just so looking forward to spring, you know?
Yes.
And I am very looking forward to spring. But I've been doing this thing where I'm like doing like one last time the winter meals, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So like I went to the store and I got the stuff for corned beef. Certainly that's a winter meal,
certainly,
but excusable by the holiday. But then I got stuff for meatloaf and I got stuff for beef chili, like where you really stew it, you know, and those are winter meals. And I don't think I've ever really done that before. Oh, I'm going to make, you know, meatloaf one more time, or,
yeah,
you know, I don't know why I'm doing that, but I'm, instead of looking forward, I'm like looking back.
It's a shoulder season.
Shoulder season? Pork shoulder?
No, I mean, that's a term for the season as it changes from one to the other. The shoulder
pork
season.
Pork shoulder?
Hey, it's a cooking show. So.
I never heard that before.
Well, the reason I say that is because we are looking forward to spring, and we're starting to see little glimmers of it, like really beautiful asparagus coming from the Southlands and that kind of thing. But it is also a really still fabulous time to be having something simmering on the stove or baking in the oven. It's just nice to have the heat.
Yeah.
That's another thing. If we... don't get me started on the way everything is so expensive right now. But we are started already. And I got to say that our electric bill doubled in 1 month with no difference in how we proceed through life.
Yeah. We were also quite shocked.
Yeah. So you would think that it would slow me down from having the oven on for hours at a time. But no.
Yeah.
I like cooking things in the oven, so I might as well take advantage of the opportunity to do it without being uncomfortable in the warm weather. So scalloped potatoes tonight,
yay!
And something. I mean, that I admit that is a side dish, but
doesn't have to be.
I don't know what it's I don't know what's going to go with it. So. Norma, our friend Norma, brought Tom a present the other day. There was a pop-up in Astoria of corned beef sandwiches.
I saw it, and I arrived as they were closing. So sad. Didn't they look delicious?
Apparently it was. He devoured that thing.
All the good barbecue places in Clatsop County are open, and I am not exaggerating, maybe once every 6 weeks. There's two of them that are just great, and they are, I mean, open at worst one, you know, four times a year, and then it's just their food carts, and it's just such a not fly by night, but just at a
random
whim at a whim type thing, and man, they're just so good.
Yeah, well, it helps if people wait and you're on their notification list, and then you know you're going to sell out of everything and you can afford to not work for a while.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, they sold out in 2.5 hours. I mean, they had a gigantic line.
Yeah.
And so I went by, I saw the line, I went to get my $182,000 corned beef, and then on my way back, they were all sold out, and I'm just like, I am a fool. Why did I not wait in that line?
Well, you're making corned beef. It's all right. All right. You can make your own sandwich. And I bet you have rye bread, so you're set.
I do. Ding-ling-ling.
Well, I wonder what else you might be thinking about cooking.
I know that it sounds stupid, but I am just so looking forward to salads that have variety of greens that are grown here in this county.
Yeah.
That's really, really what I'm looking forward to. We of course still eat salads in the winter, but there's just something, they're so, gosh, I don't know if industrial is the right word. It's not, but just so the same, you know?
Yeah, I like non-lettuce salads in the winter, you know.
Yeah.
Chicories are really fabulous in the winter. They're delicious and they're, you know, and pears are winter and they go really well with chicories. There's a lot of winter salads that I really like.
Yeah. But it's the greens.
It's the greens.
That I miss, the just the fresh greens from
And I will say that
county farmers.
There's no comparison between something that's naturally flavorful like arugula out of a cellophane bag or out of a garden. It you can taste, you know, you could do a taste test and everybody would guess correctly because it's stunning, the difference. So So, that's something to look forward to.
There were a couple of years that a local farmer had, and she doesn't do it anymore, sadly, but she had like this, I don't know what you would call it, like concierge of lettuce, but just this woman who was putting together the lettuce mixes for her. And they were just extraordinary. So like if you have a salad mix and you put a big giant leaf of basil in there, I mean, that can be a little assaultive in that one bite, you know, but she was just choosing those little teeny tiny baby basil leaves, you know, the other things that were flavorful, like baby arugula, and then just these extremely tender lettuces. It was really revelatory. But no, that was only a couple of years.
It was insanely labor intensive. We can only imagine. I love adding fresh herbs to salads and everything else, but I think we've talked about this before. I waste herbs because you got to buy if you're not growing them, and I'm not growing them. You have an herb garden. I have killed acres of herbs in my life. I mean, seriously horrible because I don't know why. I have no excuse, so I won't try to explain it. I just don't do well with
windowsill
herbs. Well,
some of them are
herbs.
Really delicate.
Yeah.
You just look at them crooked, and they're just like, I'm going to die. I'll show you.
I could just die. Anyway, I buy a bunch of herbs, and then if I'm not going to use it all immediately, it gets really schmeggy, you know.
Yeah.
And I've done the whole thing of, you know, glass of water with a plastic bag over the top. I've done the wrap in a damp towel.
That's what I do.
I've done a bunch of things, and it does extend the life by a few days, but not very long. Yeah. However, I read this. We know how the internet never lies.
Never.
Yeah.
It's so truthful.
I read this review of a specific thing, a specific tool, but I know that there are many versions of this from various companies of an herb saver that is a plastic.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So I ordered one because I want to have three bunches of herbs at all times.
And you don't
want
to throw them away.
I always want mint. I always want parsley. I always want cilantro. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it I'm willing to buy as needed. I do have rosemary growing outside because it's the one thing I can't kill.
But, yep. Ditto.
So I'm going to, I'll report back how that kind of thing works before anybody else spends money on one, but I'm hopeful.
You know, Chef Justine Diron, she has this whole series going right now where she's using up things in her fridge. And when she, and when she uses up her herbs, she just does like this little dance. She's like, I've used all my herbs. You know? And I think that's really cute.
Hey, but, it's nice.
But she's making mostly like pesto type sauces and then also salad dressings that are very herb intense. And that's a good idea. That's an easy way to use up some herbs.
Yeah,
yes.
Very good. Yeah. Very, very good. And useful in so many ways because you can use that salad dressing as a salad dressing, but you can also use it as a marinade.
Yep.
You could brush it on bread and have really good, like, herb garlic bread. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I really like her a lot.
Yeah. I realize now who you're talking about, and I watch her all the time, but on her little YouTube clips.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just never knew her name before.
Well, she never says it. She never says, I don't even know if I'm saying her last name right. She never says, hi, this is Justine Diron. You know, you have to like read.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't know how to do that, so. Oh, my gosh.
What are you looking forward to for spring?
Well, green, certainly. Local things that I now buy from other places. I like always having cherry tomatoes on hand, and yeah. I can't wait till we have them locally. Yeah. I really love that. And I also love that you get them in, when they're local, you get them in the little pint press board
yeah.
containers as opposed to a plastic container. I love yeah. that. So cherry tomatoes. We're eating a lot of pears and apples right now, and that's sort of, depending on the variety, it's a year-round thing. Mm-hmm. But I like all the ones that come to us
when
there's such a different season.
When there's such a variety when they're in season. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And berries.
Yeah.
Which I don't, berries are not really a spring thing. They're really a summer thing.
Yeah. But you can tell it's coming because, and I hate to admit this on the air, I bought some strawberries, winter strawberries, but I wasn't, like, insulted. So they're starting to get better.
Okay. And so they tasted like...
Halfway. I mean, you know, I wasn't like swearing at them once I bit into them. Like,
oh, my gosh. Hard and tasteless and, yeah. and expensive.
I tried a brand of tomato or a variety of tomato. And I'm, of course, did I write the name down? No. But it was something like Culmato. It started with C-U.
Oh.
No, K-U. And they were round and smallish, not like a cherry tomato, but like those ones you find on the vine, you know. But uh-huh. they were the color of the Brandywine ones, and I love the Brandywine yeah. ones where they're kind of a mottled brown stripy. But these weren't really stripy, but they just were that same color of brown. And so I bought them, and they were good. They were the problem with them was they were very tough. The skin was very tough, but the flavor was really good. And so that was something I'd never tried before.
Those are very good, and I've tried those too, and they're hothouse tomatoes, and so
yeah.
they're always
winter,
ripe,
yeah, yeah,
you know, and I appreciate that. But I peel tomatoes. I've told you this before.
Oh,
my
that's
husband
right.
doesn't like tomatoes because of the skin. It's tough.
That's the most precious thing.
And so I always peel them, and because of that, it doesn't matter if the skin's a little
that's,
tough.
That's true. Yeah, it's probably the toughest tomato skin I'd ever encountered.
It sounds like... I have an adult child at home that
no.
I supreme an orange and peel and peel a tomato, but it is a small chore to make someone I love happy.
Yeah, but that's part of what love is, you know?
Yeah.
Doing the small things that make them happy.
That's certainly what cooking is when you're cooking for someone dear to you.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what it is. So, yeah, that's what it is. Chicken katsu tacos.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I want to say to you. Chicken katsu tacos.
Gesundheit. I don't know this word katsu.
Oh, it's multinational, that chicken katsu taco. It's katsu is, you know, the Japanese flattened chicken breast dipped in milk, egg, and panko, and then fried crisp.
It's schnitzel.
And you serve it with that's right. It's schnitzel if you're in Austria.
But schnitzel tacos sound deranged.
Why? It's just fried chicken.
I know, but just schnitzel tacos.
Oh, yeah,
it does sound insane.
Well, katsu tacos. Anyway, with katsu, the whole thing is the sauce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good. And you have to eat it hot. But I did make tacos recently. I'm trying to think what else I've made to prove that I've been cooking.
It's so funny because it's always so hard to just like pull out of the memory banks on Monday morning.
Yeah. Because no notes.
Yeah.
Sadly, there's nothing done in preparation of this show. We just sit down and start talking to you. So quickly, because we're out of time,
aww.
I want to say again on behalf of Linda and I both, just thank you so much for supporting KMUN during the pledge drive. Thank you so much. And if you didn't have a chance to do it, it's never too late. KMUN.org. Click on the donate button and, you know, make your vote count.
It means a lot to us. It really does.
It does. Not just to us, but to you. I always say it's a gift to yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a good thing to do. Linda, we got to go.